morning, everybody. Tuesday, 23rd of November, and what the Lord gives with one hand, he takes away with the other, and vice versa. Yesterday, he took away 42 points. Today, he has given back 45 points. Our market up 45. That was despite Wall Street, which was up almost 330 points at one point, closing on its lows up 17. And a very polarized market today. Let's put that down to the appointment of Jerome Powell as the Biden anointed Fed chair. All that interviewing of Brainard was little more than vetting him for vice chair of the Federal Reserve. So Powell gets back in, and that's what the market wanted. It's good for the market. Better the angel you know, as I've said in the spy section today. Better the angel you know than the angel you don't. Continuity of policy is a good thing. Not appointing Powell would possibly or could possibly have upset the markets. God forbid anyone ever upsets the financial markets. So Powell it is. Now, the way the market's interpreted that is to pop bond yields higher. The US dollar as well has gone up. It's gone up 0.5%. And the feeling is that Biden and Powell between them are committed to stop inflation getting out of control. And on the back of that, tapering will continue. Interest rate rises will appear. Bond yields have ticked up. And that kills technology stocks. And our tech sector today absolutely belted. APT down 5.5%, WiseTech down 6.7%, a lot of others down over 3%. And in the US, Dow Jones up 17 points, but the Nasdaq down 1.26%. There's also, by the way, a second leg down, it seems, for big Chinese tech stocks. Alibaba saying that the Chinese consumer is not behaving themselves in their recent results. Those share prices coming off. So technology on the nose over there and here as well. But the flip side of that is resources doing rather well. BHP's up 4.1% today. Woodside up 3.4%. And you've probably seen that they have signed a binding agreement to merge assets. They announced this earlier this year, obviously, but they have now signed a binding agreement. The Woodside CEO is effervescent about doubling the size of the company. It won't happen until the middle of next year, but it's been very well received and very nicely wrapped up in words by BHP and Woodside. So the share prices have ripped up today, taking Rio higher as well, up 3.6%, and Fortescue Metals up 8%. And what's going on there is chatter about the Chinese easing policy. And if they do that, it takes a bit of the risk out of the Chinese economy, and the iron ore price has gone up 3.7% yesterday, 4.7% today. Fortescue is 22% off the bottom in the last week. And we have had a trade in the ideas portfolio in BHP and Fortescue to try and catch this big low on the iron ore price. And it looks like we might just have done it well. You could have bought, and I've put a list of iron ore stocks in the spy section today. You could have bought another one, which is more geared, is Mount Gibson, MGX. They're up 3.9% today. Obviously, could have bought Rio as well. Another one is CIA Champion Iron, up 6.9% today. So there are other plays. The main point of that trade in the ideas portfolio was to try and time the big low on the iron ore price, not the short-term low, but the big low. We seem to be doing okay in the short term. So happy about that. So various things going the way of resources today. Also a strong sector today, possibly on the interest rate rise idea, are all the banks. You've got CBA up 1.5%, Westpac 1.3%, NAB 0.9%, ANZ 2.1%. Now driving that is possibly this piece of strategy research. You can probably find it in the press somewhere, from the CBA strategist talking about house prices are going to fall and interest rates are going to rise. Now, to be cynical, for the CBA strategist to completely disregard the RBA, the RBA, of course, are trying to convince us that interest rates aren't going to go up until 2024. And here you have a major bank strategist just discarding that completely. Have to say, they're not alone. The bond market has discarded the RBA's opinions as well. They are forecasting interest rate rises, but it is sort of in the CBA's interest to try and get mortgage rates up and to lay the carpet out for that, to push their margins higher, and that's obviously good for the banks. So interest rates can cut both ways for bank share prices, but at the moment it looks like higher interest rates, higher mortgage rates, they're already pushing their fixed rate mortgages up. Good for bank earnings, and hence, for one day at least, the banks have gone up. Just to fill you in on some of the details of that CBA research, because it is probably going to be rolled out by all the other major banks as well. They are saying that house prices in, we'll use Sydney, are going to go up 27% this year. That's already in the bag, really. 6% next year, and then fall 12% in 2023. In Melbourne, up 17% this year, 8% next year, and down 10% in 2023. And nationally, up 25% this year, down 7% in 2023. So they're talking about a peak in the housing market. He talks about an incredible boom, phenomenal price rises, but it's now losing steam. Talks about natural fatigue in the housing market, higher borrowing costs, and there you go, the banks marketing higher interest rates. APRA's increase in the serviceability buffer, increased housing market supply, auction activity peaking, clearance rates dropping at the moment. I mean, the banks got it completely wrong when they tried to predict house prices over the pandemic. They said they'd fall 20%, they rose 27%. So what would they know? I see it as a bit of a marketing document where the powers that be at the major banks are telling their strategists to start painting the picture of higher interest rates. And the CBA strategist is expecting, whereas RBA official rates are now 0.1%, the RBA is trying to convince everybody that they're going to stay at 0.1%. The bond market says something completely different. And here we have the CBA strategist saying that interest rates are going from 0.1% to 1.25% by the third quarter of 2023. So that's 5 interest rate rises as opposed to none, which is what the RBA is trying to say. And the justification for that is an expectation that inflation, driven by wage inflation, but you could pick on anything at the moment, beer inflation, going out for a meal inflation, plus the petrol price has shot up to almost $2. But the strategist's feeling that the RBA is wrong is based on a pickup in inflation to the top of their target range at around 3% over the next couple of years. Pay your money, take your choice. Banks trying to tell us we're going to be paying more for a mortgage. That's if you've got one, of course. Rising interest rates, what's that good for? Good for a couple of stocks. Challenger, maybe we should buy some Challenger. Be a very slow-moving trade, though. Some of the insurance stocks, particularly QBE, is known to do very well out of higher interest rates because they own so many US bonds. A rise in the US bond yield is as good as a profit upgrade for QBE. And not so good for the housing market, you would suggest. I've put a list of housing-related stocks in the Marcus Spy section today. So a bit going on there. Domestic rates supposed to go up, and Powell's appointment getting the Americans thinking that rates are going up quicker in the US than they'd previously expected as well. The other thing driving the market today, or driving strategy today, is rising COVID cases in Europe. It's now a regular newswire excuse for anything that goes down. Fauci has warned that time is running short to prevent a dangerous surge in COVID cases in the US. Germany is the main problem, though. Angela Merkel saying they will need tighter restrictions, talking about mandatory vaccinations. French cases are at a 3-month high. Austria has imposed its 4th national lockdown. Protests in various countries. Main impact, GDP downgrades will follow. And it does seem to be a European rather than a US thing. And on the back of that, the euro is down quite sharply overnight. Fell 0.57%. That's a big move for a currency against the US. That's with US dollar going up on the back of Powell's appointment and the euro going down on the back of COVID. So holidays are getting cheaper in Europe. If you fancy a cruise on the Seine, you might leave it for a few months. Might get cheaper. Another strategy issue at the moment is geopolitical risk. It's a new, or rather an old one, the idea that Russia is readying invasion forces targeting Ukraine. France warns Russia any invasion would lead to grave consequences. They might cancel a submarine contract or something. Anyway, injects a bit of uncertainty into the market. And that's about that for strategy. By the way, since Powell was appointed the first time, the S&P 500's up 69.7%. Probably a bit optimistic to expect his next 4 years to achieve the same sort of gain in the stock market. But you never know. I do wonder if Biden didn't quietly ask him, can you really keep the markets going up for another 4 years? I imagine his answer was, I'll do my best. And as I say, S&P 500 touched a record high last night. Right, Fed minutes due out tomorrow night. US markets closed on Thursday. I've told you that before, and half of Friday, thanks to Thanksgiving. Big week for US holidays this week. Okay, on the portfolios, at the weekend you'll see I published the DAF, Dividends and Franking Portfolio. I haven't felt the need to re-engineer this. We've done a good job in this income portfolio over the last few years anyway. It has mildly outperformed in the last few months. I will do some tweaking over time, but in order to get it done, get it published, I have re-adopted the previous income portfolio as the DAF, or Dividends and Franking Portfolio. It's up on the Portfolios tab on the website, and we will run it from here as it is. Truth is, I have been a bit time poor with all the changes over the last week or two, and rather than drag it out, I have published it and will address it day by day from here on. Nothing much to note on the Forever or Fufu portfolio at the moment. BHP, a big contributor today, up 4.2% as I speak. Going to have a look at BetMakers. They had a rather bland motherhood-style AGM statement out yesterday and are down 5.5% since. It's one of the few performers. It was a bit of a higher risk inclusion. I'd left it in there from it being in there before. They do plow a bit of a niche-y type market, which was why it stayed in there. But the AGM didn't impress anybody. We'll have a look at it. Right, other stuff. On the ideas portfolio, timing this iron ore bottom quite well for the moment. Gold didn't like Powell's announcement or Powell's appointment. They don't want the Fed fighting inflation. So the gold price took a dive overnight. We really should have taken the profit on those. Evolution Mining, we were up 12% there in a very short period of time. But I put a chart, we bought a couple of gold stocks, St. Barbara as well. They're both down 3% or so today. Northern Star down 3% as well. It's a bad day for gold. But if you look on the chart, you'll see the bottoming in the gold price that we've bought into. It's not super short-term stuff. Let's let it run for a little bit longer. One of my holdings, Poseidon Nickel, you probably saw, had a good drill result yesterday. We now wait for the assay results. I've put a chart of Poseidon Nickel against the nickel price in the ideas section today. You'll see all they need to do is keep making progress towards restarting their mill, which is slated for December next year. They've got a scoping study by the end of this year. They've got more drill results to put in, feasibility study to publish. They just make progress and the nickel price will do the rest. As you'll see, nickel price trend very firmly set in uptrend at the moment. Two other quick things. EBR Systems, Henry Notes, IPOs tomorrow. One self-interested member described it as the next Cochlear, which sort of got my interest, but need to do a bit more work than that. Market cap of $344 million. IPOs at $1.08. See how it goes tomorrow. But you might check it out, see if it's any good. And I notice one of the media headlines today is consolidation in the buy now, pay later sector. And Z1P and Sezzle's SZL in focus. Henry owns Z1P in the small cap portfolio. He is getting a lesson in how you never buy a stock for corporate action. You never buy a stock for a bid because it's low odds. And because if anyone really wants to bid for it and it's struggling and in downtrend, there is no rush. Just let that share price evaporate. No point paying a premium before the damage is done. Let the damage happen. And it's certainly happening in BNPL stocks. have a look at the charts of Z1P and Sezzle, firmly in downtrend at the moment. Right, that's about that. As I say, it should be a quiet week this week. Henry's coming down to Melbourne for Thursday and Friday, and then he's got next week off. I'm actually off for a couple of days next week as well. We're running into Christmas. Have not had a holiday in a year. Don't worry, the team will cover, and I will probably have a look in the morning on the portfolios and markets anyway. Right, as I leave you, Dow futures up 41, market up 49, banks and resources solidly higher, iron ore stocks in particular, Fortescue up 8%, tech stocks still getting belted. You have a fabulous day, and I will speak to you tomorrow.